quit trying to talk over that. Let it bleed a little bit. Let it bleed. Which is the name of a Rolling Stones album, by the way. Our bumper music today is themed. It will be every day. Some kind of theme. Gene Simmons' birthday today. He's 79.
Yep.
So Kiss.
Had an interesting encounter with Gene Simmons back in the day at Nashville Super Speedway when the open wheel cars were here. He was hitting on my wife.
Well, Lauren is cute.
You know? I mean, I was proud. She's pretty, yeah. I was proud. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
It could be worse.
Right. It's true.
It's like, I'm not hitting on her.
It's just like, okay, man, we got it. All right. She's not going to give you her number, so appreciate it.
Well, that's you. But, you obviously married up.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah, you did. We both did.
We know that.
Parker, are you married?
I am.
Or I didn't know if you were wearing.
I got the jewelry on my finger.
Really? Here. Is that what that is?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Been married for a little over 2 years.
Yeah. I outgrew mine. Andrew Allegretta. Well, we booked Andrew to come on the show, Voice of the Commodores, does a great job. Great guy on top of everything else. Really is. And we didn't know that, I guess Clark Lee did it just for us.
Yeah,
announcing sure. that Blaise Berlewitz is going to be the starting quarterback against Austin Peay next week. And so, you know, in with that intuition that announcement was coming, I thought, we got to get Andrew on. Andrew, good morning.
What's going on? I will say I'm in the process of outgrowing my ring, too. So, Parker, you're good. Greg, you've outgrown it. I'm in the process of.
My ring will be a hula hoop. I'm going to get my navel pierced.
What's going on?
Well, you tell me, man. I don't know. You're the voice of the Commodores, the news of the day. I don't know. Sometimes you got to walk a little, you know, step by step with this. But did it surprise you or not that Blaise Berlewitz is going to be the starter, or was named the starter?
So it did not surprise me, and that is not positive or negative toward either guy. I think feeling my way through camp and watching scrimmages, you saw moments where both guys had that electric play, and you saw what they could bring to this offense. And on the flip side, you saw moments for both of these guys. Clark talked about it in his press conference a couple of times, like, each one has their own attributes. Blaise has shown system proficiency, which was Clark's wording, while needing to establish more consistency. On the flip side, he also said Jared has talent that's obvious to everybody. He's got to let the game slow down for him. He's still a freshman quarterback. He's still really getting his feet under him. So I wasn't necessarily surprised by this. I will say the wording of the announcement, and by the way, I'm not extra privy to plans, but the wording of the announcement was Blaise will start, and there is a commitment for Jared to get snaps versus Austin Peay too. So this isn't we're walking away from one guy exclusively to the other guy situation. There's a commitment for Jared to play versus Austin Peay. Again, I'll tell you this, and I said it on Jake Lyman's show, I guess a week ago, regardless of the quarterback, and really and truly, I'm not trying to like walk a line. I felt from the jump, and I still feel during camp, like the definition of this team, this version of the Vanderbilt Commodores, is going to be a team that has to play defense, that has to run the football. They're going to look, walk, and talk a little bit differently than they did a season ago or even two seasons ago, just because of the construction of the football team. I think the defense is really positioned to have one of its best seasons under Clark, and you've got a really veteran group of running backs in Cedric Alexander and MK Young. And whether it was Blaise or Jared or however they decide to divvy this out, guys, like, it's still a new guy. Doesn't matter if it's Jared or Blaise. It's still a new guy playing quarterback, and how you help new guys playing quarterback is by playing defense and running the football. So I do feel like, however you want to kind of talk about this, and I know we'll talk about the quarterbacks mostly, but to me it's still going to come back to how well can they do the other things to help the new quarterback or quarterbacks or however they decide to play this become the best version of themselves for 2026. It's by playing defense and running the football.
Andrew, tell us about Blaise and and Jared, like what they bring, what are their styles? What do they bring to the table? Are they similar? Are they different? Tell us what each one is going to look like when we see them in week one.
Well, I do think there's some level of similarity. There's certainly differences as well. For Blaze and for Jared, I do think they both bring the element of running the football. Diego is one of Vanderbilt's best running backs over the past couple of years. I do think there's the potential for Blaze and Jared to be really significant factors in the running game. Like, it's kind of built into the offense for Tim Beck. Is he going to divvy up run plays for Blaze or Jared or Diego the same way? No, but I do think all of them, Diego, Jared, and Blaze, all bring the run game element to the offense, and that is certainly significant for the way that Tim Beck wants to call the plays. I do think there is a sense of control and for calm for Blaze Berlowitz, and that comes from being an upperclassman. It comes from being a pretty tough competitor. There's a sense of confidence there for Blaze. You can feel it when he's running the offense at practices and at scrimmages, that it's a little bit more mechanical as it would be from an upperclassman. I think he's got good arm strength. I think he can find windows in the zones that he needs to. It's not otherworldly arm strength, but he's got what he needs. I think there are times when he just has to establish more consistency in his reads. And that's part of the growth process. Like, just because we're sitting here talking about Blaze being this guy that's been in the system for 4 years, he has still seen relatively limited snaps in real game action. He played very, very well coming off the bench in a Conference USA championship game for New Mexico State versus Liberty a couple of years ago, through a touchdown pass versus Virginia Tech to Eli Stowers last year, but it's still limited. I think what people know about Jared is real. Like, his physical gifts are obvious, even to knuckleheads like me, not necessarily you guys, but knuckleheads like me that don't see the game like coaches. It's eye-popping. He can make throws from different arm angles with a ton of strength. He throws the football with the kind of velocity that you would see on Sundays. He's got size and stature and speed, and he can do things. But there are also times where you watch him execute an offense, and this is not negative at all, where you can see just the game is not as slow for him. I've been talking to a couple of people. It's just like, we, for the past 2 years, we watched a master of the game being slow and being able to manipulate a football game in Diego Pavia. So we were so fortunate and lucky to watch Diego not just have a slow football game in front of him, but manipulate the slow football game because he could. So hopefully that's as fair of a scouting report as you can get on both sides. Like, I think Clark said it in the press conference, and I would kind of reiterate that stuff. It's just like, Blaze has system proficiency. He's got to continue to show consistency at all times, whereas Jared has otherworldly talents, but you can tell that the game is not totally slow for him just yet.
Yeah, I think what's interesting,
I think everybody's where they should be.
Yeah, I think what's going to be interesting for me with Blaze is there's two paths, right, in the situation that he's in. It's the path of, I'm going to use this as my ultimate motivation. I know that I have to be a certain way or I'm not going to keep it, right? It's kind of like the Matt Cassel when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. And what did Matt Cassel do? He went out there and had the year of his career, the best year of his career, right? He knew that this was the next guy, so he was going to make the most of it. Or some people don't exactly handle it that way. They know that if they do anything wrong or if a couple of things go the wrong way, they're going to get yanked because they know who's behind them. And not everybody can handle that situation. For me, it's going to be interesting to see how, because I don't know Blaze. You do. I don't. How he's going to handle ultimately the pressure. Yes, he just got named starter for week one, but there's still immense amount of pressure because you know he wants to keep that for the entire season, but it's going to be difficult to do.
Well, I don't want to get in between the ears from Blaze because while I've been around the team, I certainly am not in a position to speak to his you know, decision-making process and what motivates him and what lights his fire. I know he's a competitive guy. I know that there's trust and confidence from Tim Beck to Blaze Berlowitz and therefore Clark Lee. He just got named the starting quarterback. Tim Beck wanted to bring him. There was a point of emphasis to bring Blaze Berlowitz from New Mexico State to Vanderbilt. So there is history and trust there. In terms of how this goes, you know, over the next month or 2 months or 3 months, or I don't know. I mean, it's going to be up to those guys on the field. Yes, it's up to Blaze Berlowitz. And again, I would keep cycling it back. Not again to sidestep the conversation, but like, yes, the quarterback is the most significant position on the field, but like, there's still 10 other guys on offense that have to execute their job. And we as fans sit there sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays and go, the quarterback messed this up. Well, do you know that? Or did the receiver run the wrong route? Did the offensive line miss an assignment? Like, it is going to be paramount to me, speaking for me, only me, that the other 10 guys, whether Blaze is taking the snaps or Jared takes the snaps in that Austin Peay game, depending on how they do this, those other 10 guys are going to have to run their jobs appropriately too, because you've got no chance to help a new quarterback feel as confident and sound behind center if the other 10 guys aren't maximizing their jobs too. So you got to run the football. The other guys have to block appropriately. The defense has to get off the field on third downs, all of that sort of stuff. Like, what will make Blaze and Jared the best version of themselves is themselves practicing and doing the right things and all of that sort of stuff, and the rest of the team executing their jobs.
Voice of the Commodores, Andrew Allegretta with us. Andrew, you said it everybody knew the weapon that Diego Pavia was, okay? And whatever pressure he put on teams with his legs, with his arms, with his extending plays, all the different stuff. But this is a football team that ran the football last year. Cedric Alexander, 5.4 yards a carry. And listen to this stat, Darren. When the Commodores ran the ball 25 times or more in a game last year, they were 10-0. They were 0-3 when they didn't. So that's the best friend of any quarterback, is that ability to run the football. And I think it was underestimated last year, their ability to run the football other than just Diego.
For sure. And I remember specifically coming out of the Alabama game, and Clark told us on the award-winning Commodore Hour, Greg.
Award, yeah. I've it's amazing.
I don't know. I may have self-proclaimed an award there. I don't know. That one of the things that didn't fit right for him was the number of times the running back carried the football. And some of that's nature of games and game flow and all of this sort of stuff, right? But having the running back carry the football was really significant for Clark coming out of the Alabama game last year, in which they lost. And I would also submit a major difference from half one to half two versus Tennessee, in which Vanderbilt, I think, was tied at half with Tennessee and then absolutely kicked their teeth in the second half, was the amount of time that the running backs touched the football and the way that they were able to run the football. Now, Diego is always a part of that, right? Like, and I do think Blaze or Jared, or again, however they split snaps up in the first game, the quarterback is a factor in the run game for Tim Beck, but it works off of the ability for Cedric and MK. Like, you could go through some of the biggest plays last year, and if you're erasing the 80-yard run by MK Young versus Missouri, then you're kind of forgetting the way that the offense can function at its best for Tim Beck. So it is going to be, to me, still rooted in the ability to run the football. And that's not to say that these guys aren't capable of being really good quarterbacks. It's just I still feel like whoever is taking the snaps and however they divvy it up, it's still a new guy, and there's still going to be some comfort that has to be gained. And you gain the comfort by being able to run the football, even if there's 8 guys in the box. That's just football 101, of which I'm still a student of the football 101 class, but I do know that. Like, if you can run the football, you take the pressure off the quarterbacks. I believe in Blaze. I believe in Jared. I also believe in Clark and Tim Beck, really. Tim Beck was, you know, a finalist for the Broyles Award last year, and I think he is truly one of the most gifted offensive coordinators in the country. We've watched it the past couple of seasons and what he's been able to do with this offense, which was not loaded with five stars, and they carved up teams last year. So the running backs are going to be such – it to me, it's like the best position room in the offense. So, like, those guys are going to have to be factored. And for people that are of this mid-state area, like, don't forget about Evan Hampton, the kid from Owensboro, Kentucky. Like, he's been – I don't know what his role is going to be, but, like, he's a Kentucky Gatorade player of the year, a freshman. Like, he's made plays during spring. That's not to say he's going to trot out a 1,000-yard season, but, like, that could be a fun guy to watch too.
Are you surprised Diego has it at least as of right now, he's not going to – doesn't look like he's going to get an opportunity at the next level? It's probably going to have to come elsewhere?
I don't know. I really don't. You know, I believe in Diego's competitiveness beyond all else. I believe in his desire and ability to make things happen for himself above all else. I don't think I've ever been around an athlete that people assume can't do something and then they do that thing. How that looks and where it goes from here, I don't know. I talked to a few people and, like, you know, I think one of the things that people that are more scout minded always knew became a problem at the NFL level was his overall athletic traits and his size. Because plays that you can make in college that were elusive and all of that sort of stuff, the time clock is a lot shorter and you can't be quite as elusive at that level. And your height becomes a limiting factor in the pocket. You know, not impossible. We've seen the shorter quarterbacks find success, but I don't necessarily know. I do believe in his ability to make things happen for himself. So I don't necessarily sit here and say, well, that's it for Diego. You know, he wasn't the starting quarterback the minute he got to New Mexico State. He had to earn that too. He is going to butt up against some natural limitations where the athleticism at that level kind of makes things more challenging. But again, I don't sit here and say, well, the whole thing's done for Diego. That dude has always found a way to defy expectations. So I'll let it play out and see where it goes.
Voice of the Commodores, Andrew Alligator. By the way, Andrew, this coming Saturday night, First Bank Stadium, the John Merritt Classic.
Yeah.
Tennessee State, Jackson State. I think I may be doing play-by-play from the home play-by-play, yeah. So I expect the same level of catering and attention that you receive.
Well, you're actually, you know what, you can help me out. We've made some booth upgrades up there, which I'm hopeful are finished for your game.
Electricity, right?
Yeah, additional, like, this is like nuanced in the weeds engineering nonsense, but we've kind of rewired the booth a little bit. How you're getting internet, power, effects feeds, ref mic feeds, all that sort of stuff. We've made some upgrades in that booth, so I might need a scouting report from you, Greg, on Sunday.
I'm not worried about all the technical. I just want to know what I'm eating. Okay, that's all I care about.
So. I don't know. That's a great question.
Yep. All right.
I don't know.
I don't have Hope Hines up there trying to get an extra Chick-fil-A sandwich and getting his hand slapped.
That's a story.
That's a story.
I believe it. A lot of times we've got barbecue, so it's possible we've got barbecue.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. See you, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Always appreciate it.
All right. Andrew Alligretta.
Vanderbilt opens their season not this weekend, but Labor Day weekend, hosting Austin Peay. 6 o'clock kickoff.
Don't sleep on the Govs.
Craig, I understand your affection for Clarksville, as do I. I have nothing against all, but come on.
Don't sleep on the Govs.
I won't sleep. Did you say on or with?
Either one.
Okay.
If you're sleeping with a governor, I'm really worried. All right, let's take a break. You want to call the show? Please do. As a matter of fact, we need it right now. 615-759-99. What is it? Hold on. 9949. They didn't change it? Good. 759-9949. J. Gene Simmons' birthday. All of our bumper music every day is going to be themed with something, right? Gene Simmons, 79 years old today.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right. 615-759-9949. We're wide open on the rest of the hour. You want to give us a call, please do. After talking to Andrew, I'm not going to really – if I'm a Vanderbilt fan, I don't think I'm really worried one way or the other. I think, you know, Jared Curse, five-star, you know, seven-figure NIL deal is going to be the guy eventually. Do you get him ready to play? I don't know. I don't know there's a right or wrong answer in this one. Blaise Berlewitz has been there 3 years, knows the system with Tim Beck, New Mexico State, yada, yada, yada. I just don't know. I don't think it's a big deal. Do you? Or
no.
I don't think this says Jared Curtis is not ready.
Because it's all about week three. What is it come week three against NC State? To me, that's because Austin Peay and Delaware, they're both going to get to play, right? And they're going to win those games. And then it's going to be a matter of.
Then you got Auburn right there. There's swing games all over the place for Vanderbilt, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, I mean, once you get into SEC play, all bets are off, right?
But there's if you're going to distinguish yourself, you know, I got you a question. Would you take 7-5 right now and go to a bowl game if you're Vanderbilt? After 10 wins, first time in 122 years, you won 10 games?
No.
Would you be happy at 7-5?
Would I sign up today and not play them? No. If I'm Clark Lee and his staff? No.
I'm not talking about you, not the coach, the fan.
If you're
7-5 upon a time was
Clark Lee is trying to change that culture, that mindset.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to change.
Okay. Well, I mean that's his sixth year. Believe that?
That's
hard to believe. 6 years for Clark Lee.
Well, and honestly, I thought the first couple of years he was underwater. It, like a lot of coaches here have been like, wow, I didn't realize what I'd signed up for.
Well,
so good for him.
Yeah, but I think also and Vanderbilt was slow to the NIL. Okay,
true.
They admit that.
Fair.
They were slow to the NIL.
But they've been slow for a long time, right? And so that changed too, which they have equipped their coach and their coaching staff with the ability to do what they've been doing.
It starts at Kirkland Hall. Chancellor Dearmeyer.
Yeah, of course.
And Candace.
That's what I'm saying.
They have been amazing.
Right. They have allowed their coaches to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak.
Yeah, you have to. In that league, 16 of them.
Or you get eaten up and swallowed.
615-759-9949. We got a caller, somebody?
Bicycle Boy.
Bicycle Boy? I have no
That's
idea.
What he said.
Bicycle Boy.
Yep.
Good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Hello, Bicycle Boy.
Hello, Greg and Darren. I'm actually stopped in the middle of a bike ride to just call and tell you Darren, glad to hear you back on the air.
Thank you.
And can't wait for hockey season.
Yeah. It's just around the corner. It'll be here before we know it.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic?
Oh, boy. Oh boy.
Darren, you handle
know,
that
I
one.
Know.
Darren, you handle that.
Trying to stay positive with everything. But I want to see it, right? I mean, look, I've watched it since day one, just like you.
Yeah.
Day one. We've got a long history, and I just want to see if it's going to look and feel different. And it's felt the same for a good while now. And for me, you're asking me how I feel? I feel like I want to see. Is there a new regime? Yes. So let's start there, right? There's actually a new regime, and we got used to, you know, David Poyle and Barry Trotz for the entire length of this franchise. And so now there is what they say, new blood in the front office. And so we'll see what the new blood, there's been some changes as you would expect with new blood, but ultimately, I mean, the coach is still there. The staff is still there. The core players are still there. So why is it going to be different? I don't know. I mean, I want to see it be different. I mean, look, the number one thing for me, and this is not, you don't need degrees hanging on the wall to say this. I mean, this coaching staff, they've got to figure out a way to get off to a decent start. Like these holes that they've been digging every year to start off the season are just detrimental. They're huge, and it's insane to get off to the starts that they've gotten off to in the first like month and a half of the season. They've got to figure out a way to come out and win hockey games early on.
But don't you feel, I mean, all right, let me run these names, all right? Forsberg, Josi, Stamkos, you finally saw what he can be. But the last half of last year, he really took over. Marchessault, is the key Saros?
Well, there's a lot of keys.
But can't you build on that core?
Well, yeah.
This is the one that gets me. It's been 8 years since they've won a playoff series.
I know. Bicycle Boy's asking this question. I know. So, to me, you know, Bicycle Boy, I don't know how you feel about it, but Andrew Burnett has got to figure out a way to get off to a good start. Like, these slow starts, which has everybody, you know, going, what in the world is this in the first month and a half of the season to me? And does that guarantee anything? No. It just helps. Because in the past, I think sometimes their holes have been so deep, even when they had that hot streak throughout the course of the season, they still were behind the eight ball.
Did the Bicycle Boy have a flat?
He had stopped, so maybe he put his helmet back on and took off. Maybe he's listening with his AirPods. Or is it AirPods? I guess it's AirPods.
Earbuds?
It's AirPods.
Earbuds.
Earbuds.
AirPods. Earbuds. So I just created a new product.
That's okay. First Predators conversation we've had here in our, 3.5 hours so far?
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with any of that? Disagree with any of it?
Well, I think that the head coach is not. It's not a hot seat. Well, I take that back. I take that back. We had Pete on yesterday. I don't know how we didn't go very deep with the Preds.
We did memory lane.
Yeah, we were way silly yesterday. I don't know. I do like that there's new blood, okay, from all the way top, bottom. Maybe there's a coaching change in the horizon. I don't know. But you can't, you know, at what moment, and I guess it's a good thing in a lot of ways, because if you look at that building and they haven't had a playoff series win in 8 years, it's still packed. They still have it's still a thing. You know, every inch of that thing's monetized by Sean Henry, Michelle Kennedy. They are masters of that area, the business side of it. It's, you know, they're going to have a hotel there. They're going to have all kind of stuff that's going to be built around it. But is this city, I think they're more impatient with the Titans than they are the Predators. Does that make sense? Although the Titans have been to the playoffs and won a playoff or two game in the last 8 years. What do you think?
I think the Predators have probably gone about their business a little bit better. Probably that's why that's the case. They have tended to be out in the community.
More approachable. Accessible.
And look, have to, right? Yeah. Like, let's be honest, like, as much as I'm like pro NHL, pro Predators, like, it's still hockey, you know, NHL compared to the NFL. You have to work harder, right? You have to. I don't know what world you'd be living in if you thought, we don't have to work that hard, you know, in the NHL compared to the NFL. The NFL is the top dog. They've been the top dog, and so you do. But, I mean, the Titans have also not helped themselves with just decision-making and, you know, all the stuff that we've all experienced over the years. They just haven't really – the effort level seems to be very meh at times.
But they never blew it up. Right? Did they? It's always the feeling of the Predators.
No, because
it's always the kick the can down the road.
And I have never been a proponent of that. I honestly have never felt like that is the way. I understand they have a business to run, and I get that, and I can appreciate that and respect that. But they've been afraid to do exactly what you just said because they were afraid people wouldn't show up. And I understand that. I do. Again, and I respect that. But the product has looked the same for a long time, in my opinion. And for the people that have been there for a long time, they deserve something different, in my opinion. And so we'll find out if it's going to look any different. I thought Bicycle Boy asked a great question, because Bicycle Boy is a longtime Predator fan. And he's probably wondering, just like him, myself, and a whole lot of other people listening are probably wondering the same thing. Like, okay, what does this mean? Is this truly going to look different? You say he's not on the hot seat. I mean, anytime there's a front office change, the coach is going to feel that way, unless he's a Hall of Fame coach, right? And he's entrenched in the organization. So you can say that, but I mean, I don't believe Andrew Burnett feels that way. He probably knows going into the season it's put up or get out. I mean, that's just the way that's the way the business works.
Well, I do like, and we all love Barry, right? I think it was time, right? And Chris McFarland, maybe he's that burst of doing things, you know. I mean, he had a hell of a run at Colorado, but was he the guy?
He can look around at what they did in Colorado, and you know, so he's seen what winning looks like.
Yep. Well, anyway,
and some would say Colorado didn't win maybe to the level that they should have, right?
Not the level of talent,
like ultimately,
that they have.
Right,
yeah.
Ultimately, with what they had to work with.
615-759-9949. You want to call? This is the Greg Pogue and Darren McFarland Show. That's Parker Kelly in his Cubs shirt. And we're presented by Stryker's Fair Family Fun Centers. Want to thank everybody there. Certainly Larry Schmitto, the legend. Larry Schmitto, Philip Cox, Mike, Ron, Steve, all of them. Thank you for supporting what we do. And we will not disappoint. 615-759. I almost gave another radio station's phone number just then. I swear I almost gave another number. 759-9940. All of our butt music all
happy
the time
birthday.
Will be themed. Gene Simmons' birthday today.
Happy birthday.
79 years old. His tongue is 118
years
old.
Gene still married to Shannon? I honestly don't know.
Well,
I used to watch their reality show, Family Jewels.
Well, that's something that I've never watched.
Really?
I have watched My Family Jewels, but not that one.
I knew it.
I know.
I knew it. The minute I said it, I
knew it. Just don't leave it out. What is that?
I knew it.
What is that? Bell? Yeah.
It's Bell.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Parker. I didn't know it was a bell. Oh, damn. It's a bell. Explains that. Why is there a bell with a happy face in here?
Because we were talking about connecting it to the phone lines.
And I brought up Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
The scene from Breaking Bad.
With the old man and
the old
his
man in the
and
they had wheelchair.
And his two twin killer nephews or something,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah, I got it. 615-759-9949. Greg Pogue, Darren McFarland Show, presented by Strike and Spare Family Fun Center. Let's do four. Four.
Number four. Four.
So those things are quick, aren't they?
So we've got 2 hours to get the starting five in. Is that our mission?
No. I don't know.
What if we don't get it in?
Yesterday we did it in 3 minutes.
We did.
Okay.
Well, you were like, Titans win. UT name's a starter.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you been to a Geodis Park?
I have. Yep.
Nashville SC, 21 games, 49 points, the best start in MLS history.
I've been to Geodis Park for soccer and for a concert. I saw GNR and Carrie Underwood at Geodis
Who's
Park.
Who's GNR?
Really?
Grand Funk Railroad?
Grand Funk Railroad. Yes, that's who I saw at Geodis Park with Carrie Underwood. Grand Funk Railroad. Yes.
Yeah, opened up for Carrie Underwood.
Who doesn't know their songs? You know?
GNR.
Which one's your favorite?
Of what?
Of Grand Funk Railroad. What's your favorite song?
I'm Your Captain. From Mel, Don, and Mark.
My favorite song is Toot Toot.
We're a American band. So GNR, tell me. I know I'm a dumbass on this one.
Guns N' Roses.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking Guns N' Roses, and I'm thinking Carrie Underwood. You know, they were on the same bill.
Hey, look, yes, and Carrie had to finish the show out. Axel had lost his voice by the end. Like, she literally closed out the show.
So you're telling me Carrie Underwood and Guns N' Roses
was singing Guns N' Roses
on the same night?
Yes. Yeah, she was awesome. She was the warm-up. Yes, she was fantastic. By the way, Carrie Underwood, if you haven't watched American Idol, she is a rock chick. She loves rock music. She loves Kiss, Guns N' Roses. I mean, you name it. She can sing all their songs. So that was probably a thrill of a lifetime.
Yeah,
for her.
I couldn't. I can't.
Like, she's I'm out there on stage with Axl Rose doing the encore. See, and she was basically doing the singing. He couldn't sing anymore. He had lost his voice. And to their credit, they play for a long time. Chase can tell you. He just saw him in Las Vegas. I warned him the same thing. I was like, I hope Axl makes it.
The GNR.
He just saw GNR Saturday
in
Vegas. That's not Grand Funk Railroad. He saw Guns N' Roses.
I got a question. First off, let me get to my point on Nashville SC, okay? Since you derailed that.
Did I?
Yeah, well, it's number four.
Well, you asked if I'd been there. I answered it.
We're in the middle of number four here.
Have you been to Geodos Park? My answer was yes.
I have not.
And I can expound on that.
I've never been.
You what?
I've never been to Geodos Park.
Really? Why?
John Ingram. I won't give him one penny of my money.
Oh. Well, there's a story there.
Oh, there's one hell of a story there. Man. Don't get me started, okay? Because I won't finish until the cows come home. All right? Yeah.
Number five.
Whoa! Not ready for number five?
No, I haven't finished number four yet, okay?
Right.
You got me talking about a billionaire punk, John Ingram, okay?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's a punk. All right?
Oh, jeez.
John Ingram, billionaire punk. All right. Supporters Shield standings. Did you know that's the standings, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What? Are you uncomfortable now?
No.
You think billionaire is going to send his goons over here?
Greg, I will live uncomfortable every day from 10 to noon. Okay. I know that. So it's just Tuesday. I'll be uncomfortable
This is going to be a diatribe of mine, okay?
I know that.
All right.
But I don't even know the story. I really don't.
He's trying to bulldoze the fairgrounds for his own greed. Okay. And now it's become personal. He's out lying to people on a petition that's cloaked in affordable housing, which has absolutely nothing to do with it. He's in a pissing match with, you know, about that, you know, so don't get me started. He's a billionaire punk. All right, but let me back to Nashville SC. He does own a really good football team. They're unbeaten at home, 32-12. Yep. Hani Mukhtar.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know that's where we were going with this.
No, I wasn't.
Well, actually, you brought it up. I didn't know this.
Well, no, I'm just.
But I see your passion. I see your passion about it.
Yeah, I don't. Anyway. But I really respect what the football operation is doing there. The football operation.
They're exciting.
Right?
They're fun to watch.
Nashville SC.
They're not afraid to get behind and come back.
Beat Columbus, a couple goals the other night in stoppage time?
Hani Mukhtar is a true, legit star.
Absolutely.
Something this market has needed and craves, at least from my perspective.
Yeah. I will pull for Nashville SC, even though they're owned by a punk. All right. Let's do five.
Number five.
You ever been to the Wheat Hill Mobile Home Community Park?
No, I have not.
Seriously, have you ever been, Parker?
Never.
The Wheat Hill Mobile Home Community.
Is this in Ohio?
You know who has been?
This is why I asked. Is this in Ohio?
Well,
is it a quarterback in the NFL?
No.
It's not?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's not.
I'm asking. Okay. Anybody who can hear my voice right now, have you ever been to the Wheat Hill Mobile Home Community? You know who has?
I'm going to guess you.
The owner of the 49ers.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't guess you anymore.
No.
That's not where I thought.
I can't afford that. 49ers owner, CEO.
That's Jed why York. I said that, because the memes that were going around yesterday and the GIFs were then directed to that quarterback for the Browns.
Yeah, the Wheat Hill Mobile Home Community. He pleaded no contest to disorderly conduct and possessing criminal tools. That was downgraded from soliciting prostitution at the Wheat Hill Mobile Home Community. I want to know, what's a criminal tool? Seriously,
the owner and CEO
of the San Francisco 49ers pleaded guilt, no contest. Right? What do you do when you don't contest? You just, I give up. What do you do when you plead no contest?
Kind of what you just said.
At the Wheat Hill Mobile Home Community Park. What is a criminal tool? Google it. You got your laptops there. I want to know what criminal
tool. You're
talking
about Jed York.
Yes, right? He's the owner and CEO of the 49ers. I want to know, he pleaded no contest to possessing criminal tools. Do we know what those were?
Don't know, Greg.
A criminal tool is any item used or intended to be used to commit a crime, ranging from burglary tools like lockpicks to digital devices used for hacking.
So he was going to break in to the mobile home park? Is that what he was doing?
Well, I would say his criminal tool was his credit card.
Okay. Yeah, not a good look. Oh, boy. The wheels are turning.
We need a break, don't we? Do we need a break?
I think we need a break. You would say break.
Gene Simmons' birthday today.
Happy
rocking
birthday.
It out with Kiss. That was their first big one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Leave it up there, Park. Come on.
They were showmen.
Oh, yeah. Right? I didn't dislike Kiss.
I mean, I don't want to get into all that stuff. Because I know you have musician friends, but they were just showmen. There's nothing wrong with that.
But they were talented. They had hooks. That song's a hook. It's a top 40 hit.
Yeah.
I'm not defending Kiss. I wasn't a fan of Kiss. But
yeah, I didn't have all the Kiss stuff. Curtains and bedspreads and pillows.
Makeup.
Long tongue. Fire.
I wouldn't know.
So I didn't have any of that stuff.
So Joe Dubin sticks his head in here a minute ago.
Slimmed down.
Yeah, he does. He's Ozempic, I guess, right? What's he doing?
Oh, he said he's just doesn't eat.
Working out, yeah.
But a lot of those things you take now, they
don't. Oh, by the way, I just got an email that my credential I never requested has been rescinded by Nashville SC.
You're never going to Geodis Park.
I never not. Double negative. So what are you doing today? What do we do today? Parker, does this really make you feel better about your career choice of being in the communications world?
Or question it.
Yes.
I have no highly regrets. Question it. Yeah. I have zero regrets. In fact, this is probably number one on my resume.
I think when you asked him, he was texting Chase.
Who do we have tomorrow?
I haven't told you my new schedule. No, I'm busy from 10 to noon.
Guys, we're going to have that Shell station down there?
Potentially.
You know, that Shell station right down here, they have really good food.
Yeah.
They have a person who cooks there, which make them a chef, I guess. So what are you doing today?
Well, I'm going back to Monacheen State Farm and working, Greg, but thanks for asking.
You know what? I wish Joe was in here a minute ago. He came by. He was talking about Arian Carter. Heard him yesterday with Chase. And he broke a rule. He broke a rule. He broke a rule. Now you got the players being cut by NFL teams going to be playing college football. Now, I know that's I know that's a ruling by Judd in Louisiana. The only thing you got to do is throw him a you know, a couple bowls of gumbo and you get whatever you want down there. But
do you think it's really going to happen?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know. If it does, I mean, college
they've fallen off the abyss.
It's just right. What are we doing?
But you talk about the punishment not fitting the crime. Okay, Arian Carter, $427. He took the money. He paid it back. Three games, appealed to two. So that's 1/6 of the schedule. Does the punishment meet the crime?
I mean, does anything they do make sense? I mean, let's just say what it is.
You got this,
anything they do make sense?
The tight end was at Daquan Wright. He was at Ole Miss, right?
Yep.
And he was paid $50,000 by the Eagles and the Browns. And now he's going to go back and play college. Yet Arian Carter, who pulled out of the draft, paid the $427 back. You know how much Arian Carter makes to play at UT? What do you guess?
I don't know.
$700,000, $800,000?
I would say,
he's worth every penny of it. Yeah. Great kid, by the way, out of Smyrna High School.
Yeah.
Great kid. But,
I mean, don't forget, this happened in basketball for a brief time with Alabama, right? Like, G League guys going back. Like, this thing is so off the rails, but they have no teeth, Greg.
Parker, you have any, you know, Joe's going, well, he broke a rule. And he goes, well, stealing. And I even actually text Chase yesterday. He said, well, you steal a Snickers bar or you steal a Mercedes, it's still stealing. Well, guess what? You steal a Snickers bar, you're going to get slapped on the wrist. Steal a Mercedes, you're going to prison. Okay? That's silly.
Yeah, we don't have enough time to get into all of my thoughts. I could go for an hour or two. But he paid back the flight. He declared for the draft and then decided he wanted to come back to college. But he paid back the flight. And we have guys that are doing way worse stuff than what Arian Carter's doing. If this is at the top of the NCAA's mind, then there's a bigger issue at hand.
Well, they've lost control. They don't have any good. And this is, what are they, puffed up? And look at us, right? What a joke. Anyway, and a great kid on top of everything else. But just, I don't know. I mean, you got, how much does Jared Curtis make?
$2 million.
$2 million? Mm-hmm. Great kid. I mean, I met his family, obviously Jeff Brothers, class act of Nashville Christian, did it all the right. He could have gone to any prep school, IMG? What's the one down in Atlanta right now that's, that Pavs brings everybody in every sport? He could have been making seven figures already, right? He stayed at Nashville Christian.
Which is crazy, by the way. It's trickled all the way to the high school level.
Well, it's crazy. I know, but you can't, and I get it. And TSSAA, bless their hearts, they couldn't do anything. They're going to lose in court. They just throw the hands up.
That's what I'm saying. We can't beat it.
Well, they can't beat it in court. And quite frankly, you can't. NIL, you cannot keep anybody in this country making money on their own name, in their own image, and their own likeness. And Nick Saban is up there in front of Congress. His base salary at the time was $10 million. He's probably making, $25, $80 million, whatever a year. And we can't pay players? Shut up. You're the cause. You're greed. And now, reap the rewards. Oh, I can't live with it. Well, your greed caused it, bro.
Well, I don't think it was just him.
Oh, it was him. It's all him.
He just happened most successful coach in the game.
But don't come to Congress and say we can't pay players.
Jimbo Fisher got overpaid at Texas A&M. Remember when he got paid $75 million to do nothing? I mean, at least Nick Saban earned it.
Oh, I don't doubt if he earned it or not.
There's a lot of guys that stole a lot of money and didn't earn it. Ed Orgeron. Hello? Les Miles. There's a theme there.
It's their own greed that started it. So I don't feel sorry for him at all. I hate it. I love college football. I love college sports.
It's almost completely off the rails, though.
Oh, it is. It's a dumpster fire, yep. And they can't fix it because they're going to, and you don't want Congress to fix it? Ted Cruz? He needs fixed.
Now are you going to go after him?
Yeah.
Boy, quite the contrast to this from yesterday. Yesterday you were laugh a minute. Today your gloves are off.
Tomorrow, Jim Wyatt, the senior writer and editor for the Tennessee Titans, Hall of Famer, Jimmy, Dodger fan. Did you know mm-hmm. that?
No, I didn't. Tell me more. I don't know, Jim.
Don't start.
He was at my wedding,
so what,
man.
What I wasn't. So what do we... I'll let you do the interview there, bro. Do we have a music bed out for this thing? Or is it we just say, that's it?
Let's just do some Kiss.
Let's do some Kiss. See y'all later. Thanks for listening.